WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives. One moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air, and I'm Terry Gross. My guest is lyricist Sammy Kahn. Of the hundreds of songs he's written, I'll bet you know close to a dozen, maybe more. Here's a medley of some of his most popular songs.
I would work for you, slave for you, work my body to a grave for you. If that ain't love, it's got to do. Until the real thing come to know.
A mere Mr. Shane, please let me explain. By mere Mr. Shane means you're grand.
Saturday night is the loneliest night in the week. Cause that's the night that my sweetie and I used to dance cheek to cheek.
Time after time, I tell myself that I'm so lucky.
Be my love, for no one else can end this yearning, this need that you and you alone create.
Did you say I had a lot to learn? Well, don't think I'm trying not to learn. Since this is the perfect spot to learn, trying to find somebody to teach me tonight.
When somebody loves you, it's no good unless he loves you. All the way. Happy to be near you when you need someone to cheer you all the way.
Come fly with me, let's fly away. If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay.
Call me irresponsible. Call me unreliable, throw in undependable too.
If that ain't love, it's got to do. Until the real thing comes along.
There's plenty of Sammy Kahn songs we didn't fit into that medley, like Let It Snow, Three Coins in the Fountain, I Should Care, I Fall in Love Too Easily, The Second Time Around, and Love and Marriage. Some of America's greatest pop and jazz singers have recorded Sammy Kahn's songs. Several of his songs were written specifically for Frank Sinatra. Kahn had his most successful and enduring partnerships with composers Saul Chaplin, Julie Stein, and Jimmy Van Heusen. At the age of 72, Sammy Kahn is one of the survivors of the Tin Pan Alley tradition, when songs were written quickly and on demand for big bands, vaudeville, showbiz acts, movies, and pop singers. Sammy Kahn sings his songs at the slightest provocation. Although he doesn't have what you'd call a great voice, he prides himself on knowing how to put a song across. Whenever he's commissioned to write a song for a particular singer, he insists on performing it for them to show them what he had in mind when he wrote it. When it's time to demonstrate a song for a great singer, Kahn never lacks confidence, even if that singer is Frank Sinatra.
I sing the song for the first time, and I stand in front of Sinatra, and I am a lethal demonstrator. I'm lethal. I don't know if you understand the true meaning. When I stand in front of you and take my posture, I am ready. I know my part. And if you have any sense of words and music, first of all, I wouldn't stand in front of you to begin with unless I was ready. And I will say to you, we have the song for so-and-so. For instance, one of the most memorable moments of demonstrating songs is when I sang the songs to Our Town. Our Town for the first time. I'll never forget, we came and we sang to him. It was kind of around twilight time. I'll never forget, it was kind of quiet. With no one around, just him sitting in an easy chair. And when Sinatra reflects, he rolled the bottom of his thumb over his lower lip. And that's how he reflects. And his highest praise is, high praise. And he doesn't turn down a song, never has.
Did he ever want to change a lyric that you wrote?
Only one time.
Which one was that?
That's in the song, one of my very, very favorite songs, The Last Dance. We started the idea of writing an opening song for an album and a closing song for an album. Like Come Fly With Me. Opens with Come Fly With Me, of course, and the closing song, which is It's Nice to Go Traveling. So, and then we wrote Come Dance With Me. And then we needed a closing song. And we quickly discovered that Irving Berlin, the legendary Irving Berlin, I discovered that he'd written every song you can possibly write about dancing. Cheek to Cheek, Change Partners, I'm Putting On My Top Hat. So usually I write a song very, very swiftly. But here I am, and I can't come up with the last song. And Frank Sinatra, who's used to me giving him the song swiftly, says, where's that last song? And I keep saying, the last song, we're looking for the last song. And where's the I don't write as haphazardly. I think about it, and when I come up with a title or something, I want it to be a little special. And every time I turn, I'm running into Irving Berlin. Finally, I turned to Van Heusen one day. I said, has there ever been a song called The Last Dance? And Van Heusen, who was very, very familiar with the literature of songs, said, no. It's been Save the Last Waltz for me, but not The Last. I said, sit down. And I said, it's The Last Dance. We've come to The Last Dance. They're dimming the lights down. They're hoping we'll go. It's obvious they're aware of us, the pair of us, alone on the floor. But I want to hold you like this forevermore. So Sinatra is recalling this song. And I had lines that they're wondering just when will we leave. But till we leave, keep holding me tight through the last dance. Each beat of the last dance and save me the first dance in your dreams tonight. So it, when you speak, you would say, they're wondering just when we will leave. You wouldn't say, they're wondering just when will we leave. So he said, they're wondering just when we will leave. I said, no, it isn't. If I hold it, I said, it's they're wondering just when will we leave, but till we leave. He said, what kind of cockamamie word is... I said, no one speaks like that. I said, no. I said, no one speaks like that, but we aren't speaking, Frank, are we? We're singing, aren't we, Frank? And that's the only time we ever kind of good-naturedly quarreled about a line.
You know the song you wrote All the Way? Of course, you know the song you wrote All the Way that he had quite a big hit with. Did you ever have in the back of your mind the expression, going all the way?
No, never.
I always wondered about that.
That song.
How did you get that hook?
I'll tell you, that song was written actually to cover many, many dramatic points. First of all, the film was written, the song was written for a film called The Joker is Wild. And I said to Van Heusen, Jimmy Van Heusen, I said, They can't possibly want to call this film The Joker is Wild. Sounds like a, you know, card game picture. A Las Vegas gambling picture. The Joker is Wild? So we better think of a good title. And for days we kicked some titles and finally said, I've got the title. Frank Sinatra, All the Way. He loves All the Way. He acts All the Way. You know, it's he gets the women all. You know, it's an all-encompassing title, All the Way. And then we came up with the melody, which had a dramatic notion to it. In the picture, you know, he loses his voice. So when you hear him singing the first time, he sings, when somebody loves you, it's no good unless he loves you. Big notes. All the way. And you hear him singing that large and loud. Now, when he tries to come back after his throat has been cut, in a sense, he starts to sing, when somebody loves you. These are even notes. It's no good unless you love you. And he takes a breath, and you see on his face that he's not going to be able to hit all the way those notes again. That's when he goes, as Joe Louis, the comic, into comedy. That was all the ideas. So you know what they call the film? The Joker is Wild.
My guest is lyricist Sammy Kahn, if you're just joining us. Let's talk about some of the tools of the trade. You've written a rhyming dictionary. Did you actually use one? Did you ever use one when
I
you
always
writing?
Had a rhyming dictionary.
Yeah?
For the composer. That's the truth.
Really? Well,
I always felt that if I couldn't think of the word, I shouldn't use it. But the composer used to say to me, every time I was writing, the composer used to say to me, you have a rhyming dictionary? I said, sure, here it is. Give it to the composer.
Right, I get it. Are there words that you really avoid because you know they're unrhymable?
No, every word is rhymable. Rhymable, rhymable. Take a simple name like Nicholas. You can rhyme it with ridiculous if you aren't too meticulous. You know, every word's rhymable.
Is there a song that you've written that you're proudest of the rhymes you were able to come up with?
Yes, the one I tell everyone, the one I'm very, very proud of is Call Me Irresponsible. Simply because I am wont to say, and it's not as facetious as it sounds, is that it has five syllable words in it. Call me unpredictable. Tell me I'm impractical. I said five-syllable words from a fellow who came from a one-syllable neighborhood.
You know what I love in that song? Throw in undependable, too. I love the throw in. How did you get that? It's so vernacular.
You see,
I really
love that. You see, but every song, as I say in the rhyming dictionary, every song, the title dictates the architecture of the song. If you say the title is Call Me Irresponsible, da 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 da, that's the architecture. Now, that song started off, Call Me Irresponsible, Call Me Undependable, Throw In Unreliable, no, Throw In Unreliable Too. Do My Foolish Alibis Bore You? While I'm Not Too Clever, I Just Adore You. Call Me Unpredictable, Tell Me I'm Impractical, Rainbows I'm Inclined to Pursue. Call Me Irresponsible, Yes, I'm Undependable, But It's Undeniably True. I said, you know, Jim, if I had unreliable down there, undeniable coming after unreliable would be better. So we switched the two lines on top. I call that neatening up a song. So we changed the two lines on top, so I would have, call me irresponsible, yes, I'm unreliable, but it's undeniably true. That's called graceful and very gratifying to the ear.
What's the favorite verse that you've written? Because you know, very few people know the verses to even very popular songs. And sometimes I figure composers and lyricists must feel that they're writing it in vain because so few performers actually deal with it.
Well, you see, when so much time was given to a record and the records got onto jukeboxes, and so every time the record was too long, it didn't earn enough money quickly, so they stopped writing verses. But one of my very favorite verses was to a song called You're My Girl from the show High Button Shoes, where the boy says, the kids that see me come to call have written your name and my name on the wall. It's common gossip everywhere that you and I have got it bad for fair. You're my girl. I've chosen you to be mine my whole life through. I like that verse.
That is nice. You've spent a lot of time on contract to different movie companies in the 40s, right?
In those years, yeah.
It must have been really something working with so many dinosaur egos in the movie industry. Because between the actors and the directors and the movie owners.
Well, we never had anything to do with the actors. When we wrote the score for the producer. And then they hired all the actors and the singers. Well, we usually know, like, the score to Romance on the High Seas, which introduced Doris Day.
You wrote the song. This was also for a movie, wasn't it, Be My Love?
Oh, yes.
Okay, now how did you sell that song to Mario Lanza? Be My Love, that love is a really high note. Lanza's known for his range.
No, I must explain something to you. The melody, now which comes first, the words or the music? The phone call. That comes first. In this instance, the music was already written in ink. Love theme for Lanza. Dee-da-dee, dee-dee-da-da-da. Every note was written, not in pencil, which you can erase and make a change. Written in ink. Love theme for Lanza. By this very, very talented little Hungarian, Nicholas Brodsky, friend of Joseph Pasternak, another little Hungarian. And I was called in to put a lyric to this melody. Now, I'm very, very, very proud of that lyric. Because you listen to that lyric again, I tell people that I don't write a lyric as much as the lyric writes me. I happen to be in the room while it's happening, so I'm very fortunate to be able to claim the royalties, if you know what I mean. But think about it. The title is Be My Love. They're absolutely singing words. Be my love. You can sing every one of them. For no one else can end this yearning. This need that you and you alone create. Every one of those words, you can bite them and chew them. Now, I don't know if you realize that when I wrote that lyric, not a word rhymes.
Gosh, you're right. I hadn't realized that before.
Just fill my arms the way you fill my dreams. No rhymes yet. We're halfway through a song. First rhyme. The dreams that you inspire with every sweet desire. And I'm not rolling my R's the way opera people love to do. Now I rhyme the whole song. Be my love, and with your kisses set me burning, yearning, burning. One kiss is all I need to seal my fate, create fate. I rhyme the song in the after song. Now, listen how every word fits the mouth and really singing words. And a hand in a hand, we'll find love's promised land. There'll be no one but you ooh, ooh sound is very good on the high notes. For me, eternal. Now, Lonza, who had a voice that you could not believe unless you heard it in person, no mechanical reproduction of this voice does it any justice. In a room with him, it was a staggering experience. So, there'll be no one but you for me. Eternally, he added that. Eternally, if you will be my love. It's a high C. I don't know. It's just, now, as I said to you, he knew every note of that song. He didn't know the lyric. I had the lyric. And you know what chutzpah is. You know what chutzpah means? That's cheek or gall. Chutzpah, the classic version is, the ancient version is, this chap kills his parents and he pleads for mercy because he's an orphan. That's classic chutzpah. But modern chutzpah is me singing to Mario Lanza. Well, that's some chutzpah of some kind. So Mario looked at me. After I talk sang Be My Love for the first time, he took the lyric out of my hand as contemptuously as you can take a lyric out of someone's hand, and he sang Be My Love back at me. And I tell you, that was an experience. You know, one of the great, great joys of writing songs is the moment of truth. You know, the first moment of truth is when you sing the song for the first time to the prospective producer, the singer. That's the moment of truth. You know, you sing your songs that you write for your friends. I know they're happy. Oh, it's great, but that's all nonsense. The man who pays you to write the song, in the hard world of business, that moment of truth is the moment of truth. And I've had many. The song Call Me Irresponsible was written for Fred Astaire. That was a goal that I thought I'd never achieve in my life, standing in front of Fred Astaire. And the day came when I stood in front of him. It's one of the few great, great thrills of my life. I've had more than a few. Standing in front of him when I sang, call me irresponsible, call me unreliable, throw in undependable too. Do my foolish alibis bore you? Well, I'm not too clever, I just adore you. He said, stop. Jimmy Van Heusen almost fell off the piano bench. And he said, that's one of the best songs I've ever heard. And I said, that's one of the best half songs you've ever heard. Do you mind if I finish?
That's chutzpah too, isn't
no,
it?
No. No, that was an experience, a rare experience. And when I finished the song, he said to me, would you like to know how you got this assignment? I said, yes, I would like to know. He says, you got this assignment because Johnny Mercer wasn't available.
Ouch.
And I said, no. I said, I consider that a high, high compliment. He said, no, I will give you the compliment. The next time Johnny Mercer leaves town, I won't be worried at all. And that was a very rare experience for me with Fred Astaire. So I've had some really, really incredible experiences with songs and demonstrated. Singing to Bing Crosby for the first time was a rare experience.
What did you sing to him?
Oh, I was just singing some songs and some of the songs I'd written, and I really leaned in. I leaned in a little bit, if you know what I mean. And he looked up at me and said, you're pretty good. I said, pretty good? I'm the best. He said, what about Mac Gordon? I said, Mac Gordon is disqualified. He sings. And he did.
My guest is Sammy Kahn, the lyricist, if you're just joining us. Do you think of your songs as having any Yiddish influence in it or Yiddish inflection in the lyrics?
I doubt it. I doubt it. I think they have a... I think they what they have, what my songs have, is a naturalness. You can call that anything you want, but I would not write a line that wouldn't be... If you pick up a song of mine, A, it will not stay in your mouth. It will sing easily. Kiss me once and kiss me twice and kiss me once again. It's been a long... It'll flow out of your voice. It's almost like you'll be singing it almost without wanting to. And then someone once thought they were, what's the word, putting me down, but paid me one of my rare compliments. The trouble with Sammy Conn, he writes the way people talk.
You've worked with three great, you've worked with a lot of great composers, but the people who you've had the longest relationships with in collaboration with Julie Stein
and Jimmy Van Heusen.
Mm-hmm.
But look what happened. Look what happened. Look what happened with Jean DePaul.
Mm-hmm.
Came out to lunch one day, and I hit such a home run with him. Teach Me Tonight. Do you have any idea what an incredibly important song that is? I can tell you that's one of the most recorded and played songs ever written. Teach Me Tonight. And he just played me a melody. I said, play that again. Play it one more time. I said, do you like a title, Teach Me Tonight? I never had an idea to write a song. He said, well, how do you mean? I said, well, did you say I've got a lot to learn, what to learn, not to learn, spot to learn, hot to learn? He said, yeah, wrote it.
I've always figured that collaboration between a songwriter and a lyricist is probably a lot like a marriage where you fall in and out of love, so to speak, and sometimes things are working.
You mean with collaborators?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I think I tell people like two men working on a song is a love affair, and each song is a child.
Would you get into a little different, almost like neurotic relationships when things weren't working and you had to get the song?
No. When you're writing a song, there's only one way. It has to be absolutely compatible. You can't. Oh, it has to be compatible. Well, you know, when you walk in a room to write a song, all that nonsense is left at the door. I never didn't have a good time writing a song. Absolutely. It's the most fun I have. I say I should never let anybody watch me write a song. I'd never get paid.
That was lyricist Sammy Conn, my guest on this edition of Fresh Air.